Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about why we meet on Sunday evening. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic, so I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. A couple years ago, I read an article about the declining number of churches having a second worship service on Sunday evening. The article mentioned several possible reasons for the decline, such as it being too demanding for busy families, too difficult for so-called pastors to prepare two sermons each week, lack of attendance or interest by the members, and so on. Though the article was written from a denominational perspective, the discussion of this trend is also helpful for us in the Lord's church. Often, God's people will follow the trends that exist in the religious world around them. And even if we ignore current trends of denominational churches eliminating the Sunday evening service, it is generally true that attendance is lower on Sunday evening than on Sunday morning in the majority of local churches. The reasons why Sunday evening services are in decline among the denominational world are often the same reasons why churches quit meeting on Sunday evening or why Christians simply choose not to attend the evening service. So in this episode, I want to briefly discuss seven reasons why we assemble on Sunday evening. But before discussing the reasons to assemble on Sunday evening, we need to answer the following question. Is a congregation required to meet on Sunday evening? Every congregation of which I have been a member, and the majority of congregations with which I have some familiarity, have two services each Sunday, one in the morning and a second one in the evening. However, there is no command, no statement, example, or implication in Scripture that would indicate that a sound church must meet twice on Sunday. Therefore, it is left to each autonomous congregation to decide whether or not it is expedient, 1 Corinthians 10:23, for them to meet on Sunday evening. There may be legitimate reasons why a local church chooses not to meet a second time on Sunday. Could be they meet in a rented facility that would not be feasible to meet twice. Members may have to travel too great a distance to make a second trip. Other possible reasons as well. But for those congregations that do meet twice on Sunday, why do they do it? Some may claim that this is nothing more than human tradition. But even if we label the Sunday evening service as tradition, that does not mean it is wrong, and it does not mean it should be eliminated. Human traditions are condemned only when they violate the Word of God, as Matthew 15, 3-6 talks about, or they are bound upon others as if they were divine law, Matthew 15, verses 1 and 2 and 7-9. Having a Sunday evening service may have become traditional, but there are several good and scriptural reasons to meet for a second time on the first day of the week. So we're going to talk about these seven reasons why we meet on Sunday evening. Number one, we meet to worship God. Worshiping God is important. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John 4:23, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." God desires man to worship him, and he is certainly worthy to be praised, Psalm 18:3 says. The book of Revelation describes a scene around the throne in heaven in which the Lord is continuously praised. Day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come," Revelation 4:8. Therefore, occasions to assemble and worship God here on earth should not be viewed grudgingly, but in anticipation. The psalmist said in Psalm 122 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" The Sunday evening assembly provides us with another opportunity to worship God. Number two, we meet to encourage our brethren. One of the reasons why we assemble is to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This encouragement is not to be viewed as an unnecessary luxury, but as a spiritual necessity. After describing the danger of an evil, unbelieving heart developing within us, the Hebrew writer showed how we can help prevent this, but encourage one another so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3:12 and 13. The Sunday evening assembly provides us with another opportunity to encourage our brethren. Number three, we meet to be encouraged by our brethren. Not only do we need to encourage our brethren, we need the encouragement that our brethren can provide for us. The encouragement provided in the assembly is reciprocal, encouraging one another, Hebrews 10:25 says. We should not think too highly of ourselves that we believe that we do not need this type of encouragement. Paul warned, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall," 1 Corinthians 10:12. The Sunday evening assembly provides us with another opportunity to receive encouragement from our brethren. Number four, we meet to study the Scriptures. As local churches follow the pattern that is revealed in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 1:13 talks about, they will devote time to teaching the Word of God. In Acts 2:42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, into fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's when the church was established. This is what they spent their time doing when they came together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This teaching is important because it reminds us of what we have already been taught. 1 Timothy 4:6 says, "Put the brethren in remembrance," and helps produce spiritual growth. As Christians, we are expected to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. Hebrews 5:12, the Hebrew writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food." We are expected to grow and to develop to the point where we can teach others the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says we are to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. This is what God expects us to do, to learn how to handle His Word accurately. The Sunday evening assembly provides us with another opportunity to study the Scriptures and come to a better understanding of the Word of God. Number five, we meet to offer the Lord's Supper. Some brethren will balk at this point, believing the Lord's Supper may only be offered once on the first day of the week. However, the Scriptures contain no restriction against observing the Lord's Supper a second time, provided that it is still being done in the assembly of the church. 1 Corinthians 11:33 says, "When you come together," and it's done on the first day of the week, as Acts 20 and verse 7 says. Some brethren may be unable to assemble on Sunday morning due to sickness, travel, or other possible reasons. The Sunday evening assembly provides Christians with an opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper and to fulfill the command that the Lord gave to do this in remembrance of me, 1 Corinthians 11:24. Number six, we meet because it is logistically feasible to meet. Though we only have authority to observe the Lord's Supper on Sunday, the other points we have noticed so far, praising God, encouraging one another, and studying the Scriptures, can be done any day of the week. So given how valuable these activities are, why do we not meet from sunrise to sunset 7 days a week? The reason is because it is simply not possible for us to do that. We have other God-given responsibilities, such as family obligations. We're told about those, Ephesians 6:4, Titus 2, 4, and 5, and other passages. We have work obligations, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12. These obligations that God has given us must be met. And there are other factors that we can consider as well. And while we have certain responsibilities outside of the local church, modern methods of transportation have also made it easier to travel great distances in a relatively short period of time. In former generations, it was not realistic to expect people to be able to travel to worship services, return home, and assemble with the church again in the same day. For many today, this is not an issue at all. We can travel to two services on the first day of the week without much difficulty, provided that it is something that we choose to do. The Sunday evening assembly provides us with an opportunity to take advantage of the blessings of time and technology that we have to meet with our brethren a second time on Sunday, to praise God, to study His Word, and to encourage each other. Number 7, we meet because the congregation has determined to do so. Christians are expected to be members of a local church. When Saul was converted, he was quick to try to join himself to the church in Jerusalem when he returned there following his conversion, Acts 9 and verse 26. For this local body to function properly, it requires the proper working of each individual part, Paul talked about in Ephesians 4:16. This is why we are not to forsake the assembly, Hebrews 10:25. When one is a part of a local church, there ought to be an expectation by the other members for him to be present when the congregation assembles, unless some circumstance, such as illness, prevents him from assembling. Now, not every congregation will meet on Sunday evening. And again, as we've said, it's not required in the Scriptures that a congregation meets on Sunday evening, provided they meet at least once on the Lord's Day. But if someone is a member of a congregation that does meet on Sunday evening, then he needs to plan to be there because he is a member of that local body. The Sunday evening assembly provides us with another opportunity to come together, hopefully with the expectation that the other members will be there as well. Now, in conclusion, one's absence from a Sunday evening service does not necessarily mean that he is forsaking the assembly, as Hebrews 10:25 talks about. It is possible that he may be legitimately hindered from attending. However, if we are part of a congregation that meets on Sunday evening, we need to remember that we have an obligation to assemble when we are able to do so. But more than just an obligation, we need to recognize the great opportunity that is provided to us in the Sunday evening assembly to worship God, to encourage our brethren, and better prepare ourselves for the spiritual challenges that we will face in the upcoming week. So let us remember that value of every assembly and seek to take advantage of every opportunity to come together with our brethren to worship God and study His Word. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we're going to be talking about the proper view of worship. Until then, I hope you have a great week.